Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
What the progressive saw was an unparalleled opportunity to sow chaos and to push for their vision of essentially, let's cut through the nice language, a culturally Marxist society.
Author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
I am long past the days where I cared about popularity or being liked. You know, there is not a single great man, not saying I'm a great man, but there's not a single great man on this earth who was liked when they spoke the truth.
When I've said I don't see color, I was raised not to see color, you know, especially now in light of the whole white fragility movement that we see. People will look at us when we say that and say, well, that just proves that you're racist.
The Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast.
Hey, y'all got any more of that common sense?
So listen, before we start the show, we got to talk about preparedness and being preppers and how I basically am one now because I live out in the country. And, you know, in our container, because we have a storage container, and I have our supply from My Patriot Supply, which everybody needs to get. Because they're completely awesome. Because for a limited time now, you can save 25% on their 4-week kit. It's awesome. It's like a kit of food that has 2,000 calories. It's 4 weeks. It's amazing. Of course, Mock has already eaten her entire box. This is what she
does.
Not
true. Okay. I have only eaten the banana chips, and then I quickly sealed up the rest of the box.
I really do
want to use it for preparedness.
I don't believe you.
The box or like the containers that it comes in. It comes in like 2 buckets. 4 weeks right. worth of food comes in these 2 buckets. They are so sturdy. But you can still seal them back up, and all the individual food items in the containers are airtight, and they can last 25 years in storage.
It's amazing. I have those, and we have them in our container right now, but we're getting ready to build like a little safe room thing in our house when we start building our house, and we're going to put all the stuff in there, and I'm going to buy some more of these too, and y'all can do it. You need to get yours now, save 25%, go to preparewiththechicks.com. Do not wait to do this, you guys. Do it now. It's like the perfect time to do it. You can get a percentage off. Get your emergency food. These are the kits, like, you know, Mock was telling you. They're like tight, airtight, everything. Get it from My Patriot Supply. Go to preparewiththechicks.com. And I'm telling you, like, you could probably get some person on the phone. Usually they can help you if you can't decide whether you want the banana chips or like more of the mac and cheese or more of something else or more breakfast food or more whatever. They can help you with that. So go there. Do it.
Preparewiththechicks.com. All right. So excited. Welcome to another deep dive edition of the Chicks on the Right podcast. Very excited to have with us today Christian Watson, who is part of one of the founders of Color Us United, which is sort of the antidote, if you will, for all of this divisive racism, CRT talk that we've heard so much about in the media, in the news, in companies, in schools. It's absolutely, unfortunately, everywhere. And Color Us United is a group that's fighting back against that narrative. So we're really excited to have Christian, to have you with us. And I know you and Daisy actually initially got connected. You guys want to fill us in how that happened?
Actually, I sought them out because I saw them and I thought, gosh, this would be a really cool organization to get hooked up with. And so one of the other people who is in the organization, I started talking to her. I got connected with Christian. Christian also is the host of, I'm referring to you in the third person. Sorry, Christian. But he's also the host of Pensive Politics, the podcast Pensive Politics. And he also has his own channel on YouTube. You've been featured across digital and visual media outlets such as USA Today, Newsmax, BBC Radio London, and the Washington Examiner. And I love what you're doing at Color Us United because it's sort of the antidote, kind of like what Mock said. It's the antidote to everything that's going on now. And we actually say a lot on our podcast, and we've been saying it since 2009, since we've had a site. And that is, you know what? I don't see color, you know? And one of the things you say on your site, in fact, I think your tagline is advocating for a race-blind America. That is your tagline. And so many times when we've said that, when I've said, I don't see color, I was raised not to see color, you know, especially now in light of the whole white fragility movement that we see, people will look at us when we say that and say, well, that just proves that you're racist, you know?
Right.
And so I think that's where I want to start. You know, what do you say to people who, who say that. And then I want to get into how this whole Color Us, how Color Us United started. But what do you say to somebody that says, if you say that you're race blind, then you're obviously, you know, racist. You can't win in today's world. You just can't win.
Right. And first, let me thank both of you for having me on. It's an immense honor. I'm happy to be here. And you guys have a very bubbly and lively setup here, which makes me even more happy to be here. So sometimes I do interviews where people have not so lively setup. So I'm happy to be here. So on our website, we say that we want a race-blind society. And we use the word race-blind because the word colorblind has been tainted so much, incidentally, with a lot of negative perceptions. Because a lot of people today do not see race, or racism, rather, as a matter of intention or values. They see race, or racism, rather, as a matter of impacts. Okay, if this particular thing happens to black folks here that happens to be negative, regardless of if that particular thing was actually racist in intent, that thing is racist. So when you say that you do not see color, you're saying that you do not see, to them, you do not see injustice. Now, we say race blind because we believe that race itself, as these people claim to believe, is an arbitrary characteristic which says nothing meaningful about the content of our individuality. And if race is to be considered at all, it must be considered as one factor, perhaps even a very minute factor in a broad array of other factors. So, for example, Ibram X. Kendi makes his argument in his book, How to Be Anti-Racist. He says that President Reagan's welfare policies were racist because a lot of black folks were on those welfare policies. And when he made the cuts, a lot of black folks were impacted. Well, a race-blind perspective would say, okay, so yes, the race of the people who were on welfare, many of them happened to be black in that point in time. But does that actually mean anything significant about the content of the policy? Could Reagan have been motivated by a desire to have a sort of laissez-faire government, a sort of hands-off government, a desire to have self-reliant Americans, which is a core foundational tenet of our country? Or was Reagan motivated really by racism? So the race-blind perspective looks at many different ideas, many different perspectives, and kind of leaves the sort of moral grandstanding, the presumptiveness, the simplicity of the sort of Kendi-esque anti-racist perspective to the wayside. So I would just say that if in your social interactions, and again, I don't know who you're interacting with, some people are not reasonable. So if right. folks are not reasonable, right. you just don't mess with them. But if you're dealing with reasonable people, you should just say, instead of saying I'm colorblind or race blind, which we should all be race blind, by the way,
right.
you should just say, if race plays a role at all, I want to investigate how big of a role that is, and I want to see if that role necessitates me giving race any more significance than we've given it historically.
Yes.
I think the answer to the second one would be no.
Yeah. I love it. That's fantastic. So then how did Color Us United come about? Is it really, because I look at BLM and the surge of BLM, right, over the past several years. Was it because of that? Tell us how this all started.
So Color Us United, and I don't want to speak for the whole organization, but I can tell you Color Us United kind of came into view because me and Kenny and I, we saw a sort of shift happening in the culture, a shift happening in the worldview, where a lot of Americans who are just salt-of-the-earth people who just want to live good lives, you know, take care of their families, do basic Americana stuff, were being called racist for being a certain skin color or for holding certain positions. And so Color Us United kind of formulated as a answer to groups like Black Lives Matter, to group people, to academics like Ibram X. Kendi, to people who are pushing this kind of divisive ilk into the American populace. And so, you know, we see people as individuals, not as people who are a certain sexual orientation or a certain skin color or whatever. We see folks fundamentally as individuals.
Which is okay. Absolutely how it should be, right? I mean, I cannot believe that this is something that's even up for debate in the way that it is in our culture. But you know very well, as it being sort of the driver of what started your organization, that CRT and this whole idea of seeing race in every system, in every American system, and characterizing America as inherently evil because of its historic racist past makes it irredeemable. And because that is such a prominent message or narrative that's around right now. I think what a lot of people, at least I hear from a lot of parents who are worried about this in schools, how do you encourage parents to fight back? Because I know, you know, there's a lot of people going to school board meetings and pushing back there. But I think a lot of people, myself included, you just feel so helpless at how this seems to have overtaken the narrative these days. It's everywhere. It's unavoidable.
Yeah. So I think there are a few things folks need to fight back. Number one, we have to know exactly what critical race theory or oppression theory is. Because a lot of people, even a lot of people who have good intentions who want to go fight this thing, have no idea what they're talking about. So critical race theory is a few things. I'll try to be very concise here. It is primarily a collection of academics who want to investigate and understand American society by critiquing and deconstructing our institutions through the lens of them being white supremacist and racist. And it does that through this sort of broad range historical analysis from slavery to all kind of things that happened after slavery that they can connect to their analysis. And it also does it by entertaining certain policy prescriptions. This is what the anti-racist part of critical race theory does. So that's what it is in a nutshell. And of course, critical race theory has a few assumptions that, you know, our institutions are racist, they're oppressive, they hurt people. Racism is not a matter of intention or value, or is not strictly a matter of intention or value. It's a matter of impacts and all that kind of stuff. So you have to know what you're fighting. And if people can say, hey, well, I think racism actually is a matter of intention or value, you can fight back against it like that. You can say, hey, I think our institutions are actually not racist. Or if there have been people on an institution who have been racist, that does not mean the institution itself is racist. It's just racist people have been in the institution. There are all kind of ways we can intellectually battle and slay this dragon, I think. But in the school board meetings, the thing that's happening in education, the biggest thing, you guys already know, is the 1619 Project. That's the biggest thing happening right now. Right. And that teaches, as Nicole Hannah Jones said, that slavery is foundational to America, that capitalism is evil, that sugar or infrastructure has been influenced by racism, this kind of stuff. And really, all it takes to fight back against that kind of stuff is simply saying, I don't want these politically laden perspectives taught as fact. Because if we were just having these perspectives as a part of a broad array of perspectives about American history, I personally would not mind their inclusion in the curriculum. That's not what's happening then. What's happening is that these perspectives are being taught as fact, undisputable truth, and teachers are putting it over 3,500 classrooms in this country are pushing this.
Oh my gosh.
Fact. That's terrible. And that's why I want it to be gone. I want it to be banned. You know, not because I hate ideas, but because I hate indoctrination.
Yeah, right.
So just wanted to bust in here in the middle of our conversation really quickly to talk about an email that I got from Shelly Harrison. Shelly Harrison said, hi, Mock and Daisy. My Chamonix came today.
Oh.
Holy moly, you're right. I love the buttery feel. My face feels amazing after only one use. This is a new part of my skincare from here on out. Thanks for telling us about these amazing products. I used the code CHICKS and got half off.
CHICKS. And listen, I do spa night with my daughter every Sunday night now. We do spa night because she's obsessed with skincare products like I am. And she doesn't use the Chamonix yet because she's 11. I use it, but I have like 15 different products that I use on my face now. And so she's looking at it. She's like, Mommy, what's this? Mommy, what's that? And I have a feeling like within the next year at 12, she'll be using all like Chamonix because she's obsessed now. And she sees the instant effect stuff because the instant effects, you see results in like 12 hours. I use their scrubby stuff. And then they have the XV wrinkle treatment, which is like the bomb. That stuff is amazing. So you guys can try all this stuff. It's like, I feel like it's making my skin look even better than it did, you know, 6 months ago.
Which is hard to do because you had really good skin.
You're very sweet to say that. But I mean, it was kind of saggy. It was starting to sag a little bit, but they have this like, I don't even know. It's like a chin, like
jawline. It's the jawline tightener.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. And I love that stuff. And I feel like it's making a difference. So you guys try it right now. Get 50% off or more on all Genucel packages to look your best all summer long and into the fall and the rest of your life. Go to lovegenucel.com/chicks for 50% or more off of the packages. You're going to be amazed by the results or your money back guaranteed. That's lovegenucel.com/chicks. lovegenucel.com/chicks.
By the way, if you're looking for the scrubby stuff, it's called Crystals.
Crystals.
It's the microdermabrasion and it is amazeballs.
And it's, you want to eat it. It smells so good. So good. So then what what are you guys doing to fight back? How is it that Color Rush United is different or unique in any way in fighting back against this? What I, you know, refer to a lot of times as a machine, because at this point it is a giant machine that is, it, you know, that's why Mock says it's overwhelming to parents. It's overwhelming to people. We feel like we're helpless sometimes. So what is it that Color Rush United is doing? How can we help? What can we do to help you guys?
So Color Rush United is doing a few things. We are engaging people primarily in the social realm. Because again, the reason why critical race theory is being so lambasted right now, and the reason why 1619 is being so lambasted right now, is because there are voices active in society. Not necessarily the government, but people, so there are people who are going to the school board meetings, who are raising their voice on social media, who are writing petitions, who are using their energies productively. So we are harnessing those energies. And we're sort of synthesizing them under our banner and saying, look, we know that a lot of you don't have the social capital or the platform to speak out against this as effectively as you might wish. So me and Kanishu, my boss Kanishu and me, we will both go out in the media and we'll represent you. Just sign up for our list, tell us your story, and we'll see how we can best represent you. And so what we're doing right now, actually, we're actually fighting with the leadership of the Salvation Army, because the Salvation Army's leadership just released a memo called Let's Talk About Racism, which basically told all of their members to repent for their sins of racism. Or rather, the more exact phrase was repent on behalf of the church for its racism, even if you are not yourself racist.
Oh my gosh. That is so disappointing.
But the best thing is the Salvation Army has a pretty conservative membership. Right. So we're actually working with a lot of the members right now to organize a petition campaign, a media petition campaign, to go to leadership and say, you know what? It is wrong to say that your members, who are many of them whom are not racist, need to go repent on behalf of the church. Whatever in the world that means, personally for me, it's not biblical, and especially it's not correct either. So we're going and we're fighting that battle, and we're going to be fighting more battles like that.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. That's our goal.
And again, it's more of that, you know, every time we roll over and apologize for something that we really didn't do,
right,
that the other, I hate to say the other side, but that movement gets more, right, they feel more emboldened and empowered to keep doing this, you know? So I love that. What would you see as your biggest hurdle, Christian? Like, what's your biggest obstacle? What has been your biggest obstacle?
Well, me personally or the organization or both?
Both.
Yeah, I would actually really love to know, because I'm going to just go out on a limb and guess that you're in the minority in terms of your viewpoint at Mercer. I mean, you've probably encountered people who are like, you're going against your own race by being outspoken on this side. I would love to know more about that.
Yeah, so personally, the biggest challenge I have personally is I'm fighting against... Right. So I there's a maxim. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. Right. And I really believe that. And you don't have to be a religious person to believe that either. So I'm fighting against values that are entrenched and reinforced by a complicit educational structure. Mm-hmm. There are so many professors, if you look at this statistically, who have a certain point of view, and who don't only have a certain point of view, but are very apt at levying their professorial power, grades, you know, papers, whatever, just the authority of having a PhD, to push their view down their students' throat, to indoctrinate people. That's probably the biggest enemy that I'm tangling with, because a lot of the students that I've dealt with on my campus who believe certain things, believe them primarily because they get reinforcement from their professors. Mm-hmm. So when you have a misguided individual and a misguided system with a misguided person who's giving them misguided views, what do you get? You get more people who are misguided. Mm-hmm. That's my biggest challenge. The social part doesn't bother me because I keep my circle tight. I surround myself with people who are supportive and caring and loving. I am long past the days where I hear about popularity or being liked. You know, there is not a single great man, not saying I'm a great man, but there's not a single great man on this earth who was liked when they spoke the truth. Socrates was not liked when he spoke the truth. Like, no, not a single one.
Yeah.
So if I want to follow in their steps, I got to get ready not to be liked. So
How often are assumptions made about you that are incorrect?
Plenty of times. And I get this a lot from the left, but also a lot from the right, too. This is a problem on the right. We've got to face this. A lot of folks on the right sometimes see black, right-leaning people, conservatives, libertarians, as useful voices for their opinions to be filtered. And that's – tokenism is a problem because I'm not here to – be a mouthpiece for anything but the truth.
Right.
And the truth has led me to believe what I believe. You know, my philosophical studies have led me to believe what I believe. But there are a lot of folks on right who are like, oh yeah, you're doing okay now because you're a black whatever, black libertarian, black conservative. And that's wrong. So I face that challenge as well. And I have to shut people down. I'm like, no, I'm Christian Watson, first and foremost. I'm not trying to emulate anyone, not trying to be anyone else. I am me, you know, and you either take that or leave it. And that's when the conversation on that end typically just ends completely. So yeah, now in society, the biggest problem that I think Colorist United is going to face is that so many people have been inundated with the propaganda that race actually is very important. They've been inundated with the propaganda that race matters when we're trying to understand disparities in whatever system or whatever institution, that race matters when we're trying to understand how people treat each other. I mean, this is sort of racial essentialism, which has pervaded the atmosphere and consumed all of our dialogue. That's the biggest problem, I think, that we are facing. But I think the greatest comeback to that problem, the sort of greatest antidote to that problem, is that there are also a lot of people, especially in middle America, who don't believe that race really matters. They want to know a few things. Number one, do you respect my rights? And are you a good human being? If those two things are all right, they're good with you.
Yes.
So
amen to that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we got to get back to that. That's what a lot of people believe, but we got to get back to that. And no one should feel bullied into holding a racially infused paradigm. No one should feel bullied about doing that. And people are being bullied right now.
What do you say to people? And I'm thinking of her specifically because I fought with her on Twitter about this. but what do you say to people like Joyanne Reed, like AOC, like so many other people who are insisting this conversation is just made up? This is a right wing made up problem. CRT is not being promoted anywhere. You guys don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what CRT is. How do you respond to that accusation when it's levied on you?
Well, first, I think if someone makes that claim with a straight face, they lack intellectual integrity. And I don't have to say very much about Joy Reid, but that's a different conversation. number one, the NEA, the largest teachers union in this country, their board of directors just passed a resolution, several actually, which mentioned critical race theory by name and mention they want to defend critical race theory by name. Now, admittedly, the president of the NEA has been very wishy-washy. Well, we don't teach critical race theory, whereas her entire organization just endorsed it. But it's also important to realize that when we say that critical race theory is being taught in education, what we're actually saying is that critical race theory principles are being put in the curriculum. It is true. No one in K-12, as far as I know, is actually sitting down and reading Kimberly Crenshaw or Derek Bell. And no one's doing that. Very few folks do that in general. Even in law school, very few folks do that. But what is happening is that the principles that those people have laid down throughout their works, you know, all these ideas of oppression, institutional and sort of oppression, those are being infused in the curriculum vis-a-vis the 1619 Project, and those are having an impact. So that's when we say critical race, that's what we're actually talking about. It's sort of a proxy for sort of indirect infusing of certain principles into the curriculum. So I would just say to Joy Reid and anyone else that they're number one, they're trying to run from the issue. Number two, they're not understanding the nuances of the issue either. They're just speaking nonsensically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hey, remember earlier when I told you about that email that we got from Shelley Harrison about Chamonix?
Yes.
She also wrote about MyPillow. This is amazing. Oh. So she said in the same email, she said, now I'm waiting for my MyPillow order. I got the pillows a while back and I love them, but now I've ordered towels, sheets, and the travel pillow this time. I live in Alaska, but work in Seattle, so I fly frequently and cannot wait to try out the travel pillow on my next flight. I bought a new bed for my apartment here in Seattle, and I so look forward to sleeping on the Giza Dream Sheets. Keep doing what you're doing, ladies. I listen faithfully every morning, mostly live, since people here think 5 a.m. is the time to start work.
You make me laugh
and put me on the right foot every morning, from Shelley Harrison. She knows what's up with MyPillow. All this stuff is amazing.
MyPillow is amazing. Every single product that they have is completely luxurious, and we love every bit of it. So go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square. Enter promo code CHICKS or call 800-875-0513. And while you're there, take advantage of the deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Sheets and MyPillow Premium Pillows. Or you can get a dog bed, or you can get slippers.
That's right.
Or you get towels.
Robe.
Yeah, or a robe or any of that stuff. So right now you can get your MyPillow 6-piece towel set for only $39.99, only with the My promo code. Chicks. Call 800-875-0513 or visit MyPillow.com today.
Yeah. So how can people find out more and get involved with Color Us United and listen to you more?
Yeah, and so, reach you, like, social. We want to know where you are on social, every place for people, because we have followers. I know, like, we don't have, like, a ton, but we want everybody, we want people to go and find you where every single place that you are and support you.
Well, I appreciate it. So, Color Us United, you can find us at colorusunited.org. From there, you can find my information, Kenny's information, all of our social medias. All of it will be right there. You can also send me an email there. I love to respond to emails. I'm happy to respond to emails. For me personally, you can go a few places. You can go on YouTube and type in Christian Watson and subscribe to my YouTube channel there. You can also go to my Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all of which are at Official C. Watson. And you can also search up the word Pensive Politics into YouTube or into Google. You can find my podcast there. So, that's how you can find me, and that's how you can find the organization.
Awesome. So happy
thank
to talk
you
to you
so much.
No problem. I'm happy to be here, and thank you guys for being so kind and generous. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Christian. We appreciate your time, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Yes, I would love to come back whenever you guys want to have me back.
We'd love it. Speaking of places to find people, you know where everybody can find us? Our website.
Yes.
Our website is like the most important place where you can find us, and that's chicksontheright.com. And then you can find us on all the socials, which is Chicks on Right, and that's at Twitter and Instagram and Parler and Rumble. And Deedly Doo and all the Poopty Doo and all the other places that are out there on social. It's basically at Chicks on Right. I don't know. Mock has us on all these socials and all of these, like, I don't even know. She probably has like naked pictures of us out there someplace. On socials,
well, I mean,
I'm unaware of.
I have accounts at the places, but we're not actually particularly active at the places Facebook, Twitter.
You've made the reservations. We're not,
but
like,
I don't know how to hold the reservations.
Just know how to hold them. That's what's right. happening with our socials right now. Okay, right. So that's happening. And then, you know, basically find us on Facebook, like in 14 different places. We're on Facebook. We have a Facebook, like a regular page, which is awesome. And then we have a Facebook group, which is also awesome. But then, like, the most awesomely awesome of the places on Facebook to find us is our insider page, which is an exclusive group. It's like being in a VIP club in Vegas, only not as skanky, you know? Right?
Yes, okay. That's a perfect way to describe it.
I thought so. Thanks for backing me up on that. That's basically what it's like. So you should check that out, too. Have I covered all of our bases?
I think so. I think you've covered them all. We're also the Mock and Daisy Show on YouTube.
Oh, that's right.
If you're interested in joining our tailgaters who chat before we go live every weekday morning.
Those people can party. They can party, you guys.
And until then, we will do another deep dive on something next week.
Yeah, you guys have a great one.
New York's Attorney General, a Democrat, says Governor Cuomo is guilty of sexually harassing women. The COVID vaccine wars are more intense than ever, and a Biden advisor says those cloth masks you've been wearing don't really work. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the 3 Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news for conservatives and some much-needed laughs, too. Subscribe to the 3 Martini Lunch at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.